In a few moments, you'll experience the live stream from LifePoint Church. I'm so glad that you're here to join us for that experience. At our church, our mission is to influence people to find and follow Jesus. We want to see people find Jesus, in other words, believe in him for their salvation. And then after that, we want to see those believers follow Christ in a life of wholehearted devotion. All of our energy and effort is put into serving you, helping you experience that. So maybe you're joining us from another part of the world or another state in the United States. We're glad that you're here. My encouragement to you would be wherever you are in the world, find a local body of believers to get involved with. Don't let this be your church alone. And then for those of you that are in our local area or maybe even part of our church family, perhaps some of you are on vacation or some of you have kids that are sick or for whatever reason you decided to stay in this weekend. And I would just invite you to consider not using our live stream as a substitute for the church experience. Make sure you're involved in community. We have the wonder of technology to take advantage of experiencing a service through computer and in our own homes, but that's not the church. I would invite you to come and be part of community. You can do that especially through small groups here at our church. I would invite you to get connected with people, share life together, be part of what God is doing in each other's lives. It's a very powerful thing. And then, of course, as you're watching via live stream, I would invite you to participate in the act of worship through giving. I would encourage you to go on to our website, lifepointchurch.us. There you can find a tab to click, and you can be a part of this experience through the giving of your gifts. My deepest prayer is that God would use the experience of this service to change you, to draw you closer to himself. I hope you enjoy this time together.
Everybody. Welcome. If you are joining us in the video cafe or the live stream, we're so glad that you're with us. This is part one of a new series that we're starting, of a two-part series leading up to Easter. I can't wait to just dive into this. We're calling this series The Road to Easter. It's all about how do we get to Easter. And in two weeks, we're going to be celebrating Easter together as a church. I can't wait for that. I'm not actually going to be up here that time. I'm going to be out in the parking lot helping people find a place to park. I'm really looking forward to that. We would love to have any of you serve. If you can serve a service in addition to attending a service, we'd love to have you join us for that. If you can make time for that, so please consider that. You can sign up over at the welcome desk. But we're just 2 weeks away from Easter, and we're going to be exploring together the road to Easter. So what do we mean when we say the road to Easter? What is that? It's kind of cryptic. It's a little bit vague. When we talk about the road to Easter, what we're talking about is a road to redemption, a road to redeem dead things. The road to Easter leads to the resurrection of Jesus, where dead things came back to life, where God reconciled a broken world back to himself, where he took people that were far away from him and brought them back to himself through the death and resurrection of his son. That's what the road to Easter is all about. But the road to Easter doesn't begin where probably a lot of us think that it begins. I think most people would say, well, the road to Easter begins in the New Testament with the Gospels. And that's where the road to Easter actually ends. The road to Easter begins in the Old Testament. It begins right at the beginning with Scripture. It begins with Genesis. And the road, so what we see that the road to Easter is this is a long and winding road. This road that God paved to our redemption. And one of the things we also see as we look in the scriptures is that the road to Easter is a road that often is very painful to walk. It can be really difficult to get to redemption because before we get to the resurrection, before Jesus got to the resurrection, he had to go through death. And so that is the story of the road to Easter. But I think there's also a sense in which we also walk a road to Easter. that each person has a journey on their way back to God. No one is born a believer in Jesus. That's something we have to come to. And often that's a long and winding road for us as well, and we have to go through pain in order to get there. That's something that happens. So if you're here today, where are you on that road? Are you just looking at the road and maybe considering whether or not you're going to get on it? Maybe you don't know who Jesus is this morning. Maybe he's someone that you're trying to figure out. This whole God thing doesn't make a whole lot of sense to you. But you're curious and you're considering, okay, what's down this road? Maybe you've just put it together and you've just understood who Jesus is, that he died and rose to bring you back to God. And maybe you're trying to figure out how to follow. Maybe you've been walking this long and winding road for a long, long time. And you've been through the pain, and you've seen God redeem things in your life. You've kind of seen it all. Wherever you are this morning, this is a journey that I'm glad we're on together. We're going to be looking at a story from the Bible that talks about the road to Easter, because the whole of Scripture is the unfolding of God's plan down this road. And today we're going to look in a place where you might be surprised to find the road to Easter, or an Easter story. We're going to be looking in the book of Genesis, the very first book of the Bible. And we're going to look at a story that on the face of it doesn't seem like it has anything to do with Easter. In fact, it kind of looks like it has everything not to do with Easter. It's a story that's going to probably push some of our buttons and rub us the wrong way. We're going to be looking at a story that's contained in Genesis chapter 22. So if you have a Bible and you want to read along with us, please turn to Genesis 22. If you don't have a Bible, we would love to give you one. We have them at our welcome desk. All you have to do is just go up and ask. We just love to give it to you so that you can have a copy of God's word to read for yourself, to learn and to explore. It's especially true if you're trying to figure out who God is. I would suggest maybe starting in the book of John, which is the fourth gospel in the New Testament. But we would love to just give you a Bible and allow you to begin exploring God's word for yourself. Just go to the welcome desk and we'd be happy to give you one. So we're going to look at a story in Genesis. And again, it doesn't look like it has anything to do with Easter. But I think what we're going to see is that God is hidden within this story, his plan of redemption along the road to Easter. And as we look at it, I think we're going to learn for ourselves some keys to how we can walk along that road to Easter. So if you have your Bibles and you want to read with me, we're going to read from Genesis 22. We're going to read the first 14 verses. So this is going to be a little bit lengthy, so just bear with me. It'll all be up on the screen as well. It says, after these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, here I am. He said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. And on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took in his hand the fire and the knife. And so they went both of them together. And Isaac said to his father, Abraham, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. He said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So they went both of them together. And when they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. He said, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its thorns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide, as it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. All right, so this passage, this story in the Bible, obviously is going to raise quite a few questions. It's kind of one of those things you hit and like, okay, that's difficult. So let's try and get a little bit of context here. Let's start at the very beginning of the passage and how it opens. Let's look at verses 1 and 2. After these things, God tested Abraham. He said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering. All right, so what do we make of this? So before we jump into what God is asking, let's talk about who the characters in this story are. Who is Abraham? In the words of Ron Burgundy, Abraham's kind of a big deal. So Abraham is claimed by three world religions as the father of the faith. Muslims claim Abraham is the father of the faith, Jews claim Abraham is the father of the faith, and so do Christians. So he is the founder of three major world religions. This guy is important in world history. And Abraham lived in ancient Samaria. And one day God called him out of ancient Samaria and said, go to a land that I will show you, and there I am going to make a great nation of you. And your descendants will exceed the stars in the sky, and from you I will bless all nations. And what God was pointing to there was Jesus. He was pointing to the Messiah, the ultimate blessing for all nations. That Abraham was going to build a family, and this family was going to usher in the Messiah who would be the Savior of all. So this is the beginning of this road to Easter, this redemption process that God was inviting us into. But what is going on in this story? Because God is saying, Isaac, the son of promise. See, Abraham was old when God called him, and he didn't have a son. He didn't have an heir. And he was beyond childbearing age, and so was his wife. And God said, I'm going to give you a son anyway, you and your wife Sarah, and that son is going to be the one that will create this family. And so that son has been born, and now God is saying, oh, take Isaac, your only son, the son of promise, and sacrifice him to me as a burnt offering in the land that I will show you. What is going on with that? Child sacrifice? Every place where child sacrifice is mentioned in the Bible, it is condemned. And here we have God asking Abraham to sacrifice his son. What is going on? This doesn't sound anything like God. How could this possibly be a road to redemption, a road to good places for Abraham? And I think what's going on here is that the writer who's sharing this story is challenging us. He's inviting us to ask questions that Abraham had to ask in this instance. He's inviting us, in fact, forcing us to ask some really important questions. What do we believe about God? Do we believe that God is good? Do we believe that we can trust God? Is God the kind of God that will go back on his promises and kind of an Indian giver and give us things and then take them back? What kind of God would ask this of his people? What do we do with this? And there are a couple different ways we can answer this question. We can do what some people do and just say, well, you know, that this just proves that this whole God thing is bunk and we just discard it. Or some other people say, well, see, this just proves that the God of the Old Testament is kind of wicked and bad and the God of the New Testament is the God of love. But the problem is that the testimony of Scripture is that it's the same God. So we have to try and figure out, how do we make sense of what's going on here? Well, I want to suggest that what God is doing in this story is something really big. You see, Abraham is the founder of the faith. And God is laying a foundation for this road to Easter that's ultimately going to lead to Jesus and the cross and the resurrection. And as he's laying that road, he's showing us something. Abraham is going to go on a journey in which Jesus and the road to Easter is hidden throughout the entire thing. This is something much bigger. It's a picture that God is painting about the road to Easter. And it is obviously a very painful road. What God has asked is incredibly painful. And that's why I think we need to take heed of this story. Because all of us on our roads are going to encounter times and events that we're not going to want to walk. We're going to say, I'm not going down this road. This is not a road that I want to go down. One of those days for me was July 8th, 2013. It's a day I will never forget. I was on vacation with my family, and I got a phone call that we had been expecting, so this was kind of really a tough thing because you're in this great place at the beach, and you get this phone call, and the phone call was news that our daughter Grace, who we were expecting a few months later, was most likely going to be born with Down syndrome. That was tough. That was a really, really hard moment in our lives and in the life of my family because we had two boys, and we had been hoping for a girl, and we had had a miscarriage the year before. This was a hard, hard time. And we finally found out we were going to have a little girl, this girl that we had hoped for. And then we got this call that the girl that we had hoped for, that we thought God had promised us, was not coming the way that we thought she was going to. And so we had to try and find a way to let go of the daughter that we thought we were going to have and begin getting ready to welcome the daughter that we were going to have. So hard. You guys have, everyone has been through times like this, where that phone rings or the pink slip falls or the court summons is issued or the diagnosis comes in and you are faced, I've got to walk down a road that I don't want to walk down. I've got to go down this place. And you're certain as you're looking at this road that God can't possibly have anything good at the end of it. There's no way that this leads to a place of redemption. And that's what Abraham is looking at in this story. What God has asked, Abraham has got to be thinking, there's no way this leads anywhere good. But Abraham had to answer the question, what do I believe about God? You see, we know how the story ends because we can read the whole thing, but he's looking at this going, he doesn't know what's on those mountains or where this ultimately is going to lead. So how did he walk that road? How did he find within him the ability to go down this road that God had called him, where he couldn't see the end, and between him and the end was nothing but pain and confusion? How did he do that? Well, I think that there's only one way, and I think Abraham's story shows us this. The story shows us that the road to Easter must be walked by faith. We see this over and over again in the scripture. The road to Easter, the road to redemption can only be walked by faith. Abraham, go to the land that I will show you and offer your son Isaac, whom you love, your only son, as a burnt offering. There's not a lot of information in that. And what information Abraham has is bad. How do you walk that? The only way you can possibly go down that road is to walk by faith. But how? How do you find the faith to do something like that, to walk into that pain and that confusion and trust that God has something good and redemptive at the end of it? I think the very beginning of our story shows us one of the first steps. Verse 1 begins with these words, after these things. After these things, which means something has come before all of this. After these things, God has already been at work in Abraham's life. See, one of the questions that some scholars ask is, how did Abraham even know that this was God who was calling him? How did he know that this was God's voice? Because the question seems so unlike what God might ask. How did Abraham know that this was God that was calling him to do this? Well, the reason is that this happened after these things. And if you go back into Abraham's story, you see that some of the things were God had already spoken to Abraham three times before. God had been at work in Abraham's life for decades by this point. Chapter 21, immediately preceding our chapter, contains the story of the birth of Isaac, where after decades of waiting, God has fulfilled his promise and given Abraham the son that he's always hoped for. But if you read Abraham's story, you find that road to Isaac didn't unfold the way Abraham was expecting it to. God brought him to the promise, but not in the way that he thought he was going to. So Abraham had already walked by faith with God. He had already learned to trust God. Abraham was walking by faith, but it wasn't blind faith. It was faith in someone that he knew. He remembered what God had done in his life, and that gave him the faith to trust that God was going to do something redemptive, even though it didn't look like that could possibly be the case. He couldn't see the road ahead, but he remembered the road he had already traveled. And that gave him the strength and the faith to move forward because he knew God. When we got that phone call, July 8th, 2013, it was devastating. We didn't know how we were going to walk forward together. But one of the things that both my wife and I knew, both Diana and I knew, was that God had been at work in our lives and we had seen it time and time again. That when we thought things were going in the wrong direction, God would show up and do some incredible things in our lives. That allowed us to begin walking that road. Now, there will be times in our lives where things aren't unfolding the way we think they should, the way that we want them to. And that's when we need to remember what God has done. And you know, maybe you're here today and you're like, I'm just learning about God. Like there is no history. Well, here's the thing, you're in this room. You're here or you're joining us online. So God's been at work in your life just to get you here. And I bet if you think about it, you will see that God has placed events and people in your life just to draw you to ask these questions. So God has been at work. And sometimes to find the faith that we need to move forward down a road, we need to look back at the road we've already traveled and see that God has been at work. But how did Abraham keep moving forward? How was he able to find the faith to keep going? Because this was not a short trip. This story tells us that Abraham walked for 3 days. And with every step that he walked, every step that he took forward, he was one step closer to this horrible thing that he thought he was being called to do. Can you imagine how the anxiety and the fear and the pain was building in him as every step he was one step closer to this horrible thing that he thought he was facing? Imagine the fear and the pain. And some of us have been there, that every step we're one step closer to whatever we're facing. We've all been there. How do we keep going in moments like that? Well, let's look at Abraham's faith. Let's look at what he believed. Verse 5 tells us, Abraham said to the men that were with him, I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. From far off, when Abraham saw these hills and he knew where he had to go, this was a statement of faith. Abraham believed that even though he couldn't see where this was going, even though he didn't know how the story was going to end, that God was leading him to a place of redemption, that both he and his son were coming back. That this was not the end for Abraham, and it wasn't the end for Isaac. In the New Testament, the book of Hebrews, the writer there actually kind of pulls back the curtain a little bit and reveals what Abraham was thinking. In chapter 11 of Hebrews, it says, Abraham believed that God could resurrect his son. Abraham thought that he might have to go through with this, but even if he did, God was going to bring his son back to him and fulfill the promise, which kind of leads to something. Abraham suspected something that was going to happen. He just didn't quite see how it was going to unfold. But he knew and believed that God was going to keep his promise, and that's what allowed him to keep moving forward through the pain and through the confusion. And later, as he and Isaac are now about to walk up the hill, and Isaac's starting to wonder, what is going on, Dad? We got the wood, carrying that. You got the fire and you got the knife. We're missing the sheep, and that's kind of an important part of this equation. And you can almost hear some of the anxiety going on in Isaac's voice. Like, what are you doing, Dad? And this is where we get another profound statement of faith from Abraham. Verse 8, God will provide for himself a lamb for the burnt offering, my son. It's a second statement of faith about what Abraham believes about what's going to happen, that somehow God is going to provide. But I also want to suggest to you that this statement is prophetic. Abraham probably didn't know that he was speaking prophecy, but Abraham was speaking a prophecy about what was going to come, that God was going to provide a lamb at some point. Abraham didn't know how God was going to make a way, but he trusted that he would. And he was teaching his son the same thing. God had provided in the past. God had made a way for him when there was no way. There was no way that Abraham should have had a son, and God made a way for that. So if God had done that before, he could do it again. And that is what Abraham believed. But Abraham didn't know how God was going to work it. He was walking by faith. That was the only way he could walk. But his faith was is that God will provide a lamb. Abraham believed that God would provide what he couldn't. So Abraham knew he couldn't get to the end of this road and survive it. See, the road to Easter is a journey we can't complete. We can't make it all the way to our redemption because that road leads through death into resurrection. We can't make the journey. We can't finish. See, we read this story, we see the first two verses of Genesis 22, and we get offended, but I'd like to suggest we're not offended enough because we don't see this with Middle Eastern eyes. See, in the ancient Middle East, men and families lived through their descendants. That was how they continued. And here, what God has asked is that the promised child, the one that was going to fulfill, the one that all the hopes and dreams for the coming of the Messiah and the great nation that God was going to build from Abraham, all of that was wrapped up and symbolized in Isaac. His entire future, essentially his entire being, is all in Isaac. And to sacrifice Isaac for Abraham essentially meant his own annihilation. This would destroy him and it would destroy Isaac. It was a price that he could not pay. The price was too high. He couldn't pay it. And that's true of all of us. The price of our redemption is death because sin deserves death. The wages of sin is death. We can't make our way back to God. It's a broken relationship that only He can heal. We can't do it. That's what the road to Easter shows us. That's what this journey of Abraham is meant to show us. We cannot redeem ourselves. We have to trust that God is going to bring us the redemption that we need, that God is going to provide the lamb that we don't have. So God brought Abraham on this journey because He needed to show him something, and He needed to show everyone that would come after Him on this road to Easter what God was doing. Isaac wasn't the answer. He wasn't the promised one. Even if Abraham had sacrificed Isaac, it wouldn't have been sufficient. God brought Abraham as far as he could go along this road. But the road that he was on wasn't pointing to Isaac, it was pointing to Jesus. And if you look carefully at this story, you'll see that the true road to Easter that leads to Jesus is hidden and woven throughout what Abraham experiences. Isaac wasn't the real promised one. The real promise is hidden in this story, and it points to Jesus. So let's take a quick look at what those things are. Verse 2. Go to the land of Moriah. That doesn't mean a whole lot to us. But if you today were to go to the land of Moriah, you would be standing in the middle of Jerusalem. The land of Moriah was a set of hills that is today where the city of Jerusalem now lies. So if you're in the land of Jerusalem, you're in the land of Moriah. So God directed Abraham to go and sacrifice his son, his only son whom he loved, on a hill in Jerusalem. Abraham, the founder of faith, was walking the road of Easter centuries before Jesus would walk that same road and complete it. And what was hidden from Abraham, we can now see because we know the full story. See, in this story, what Abraham and Isaac do in part, Jesus would later one day do in full. So where God is beginning the faith of Christianity and Judaism, He's going to complete it later. So let's look at another piece of the story, verse 6. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on his son Isaac. Here we have the father placing on his son the instrument of his own destruction. That thing which would kill him was placed on the shoulders of his son. Centuries later, another father would place wood on the shoulders of his son and make him carry it up a hill, the very instrument of his own destruction. God is painting a picture of what redemption was going to look like, that it was going to go through pain and death because Jesus would carry a cross centuries later up this same hill. And when Abraham walks as far as he can walk along the road to Easter, and can you imagine the pain? Isaac is now bound. He's on the wood. The fire is ready. Abraham's got to be thinking, okay, you can stop me anytime now, God. You can stop me anytime. And he raises the knife to strike, and the angel of the Lord calls out to him, Abraham, Abraham. And you can almost just see him like, oh, thank you. Don't hurt Isaac. And the interesting thing here is the angel of the Lord is a very particular person. The angel of the Lord in the Old Testament, every time you see that character appear, that is a pre-incarnate Christ. Jesus stopped Abraham from dropping the knife. Stopped him from striking. It's almost as if he's saying, okay, this is as far as you can go. I'm going to take it from here. You can't go any farther. This sacrifice would cost you everything, and I can't let you pay it. So I'm going to give you a substitute. Verse 13, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. The substitutionary sacrifice had his head caught in thorns. That's interesting. The ram caught in the thicket by its horns took the place of Isaac. God provided for Abraham just as Abraham predicted. Let's go back to verse 8. Abraham told Isaac, God will provide for himself a lamb. But the interesting thing is he didn't. Not in this story. Not here. God didn't provide a lamb. He provided a ram. The ram that was sacrificed in place of Isaac wasn't enough to win redemption. It was enough for right now. God will provide a lamb for himself. That prophecy that Abraham spoke was not fulfilled at this time on this hill, but it would one day be. See, there would be a day to come, and we're just getting a glimpse of it now. Abraham only got a piece, where on this same hill, centuries later, another father would have his son on this same hill, carrying a cross. And the only difference is that this time the knife would fall. This time the knife would strike. This father would sacrifice the son, his only son, who he loved, to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. That is the hope of Easter. That is where the road to Easter leads. It leads through death into life. But it's a price that God knows we can't pay, so he paid it for us. And the only way we can walk the road to Easter, the only way we can get to that redemption that's at the end, is by walking in faith. And what we'll find is that often when God calls us down roads of pain, it has amazing redemptive purposes. I know that that's been true in our lives with our daughter, Grace. It's exceeded every hope and expectation we ever had. She is such a joy that I don't know what I was afraid of back then. The pain was very real, but oh, has God redeemed that? See, all we need to travel the road to Easter is faith that God will make the payment that we can. If we just believe that Jesus died and rose in our place, we are given the redemption that we can't earn for ourselves. I want to close our service this morning by reading from the Jesus Storybook Bible. It's very scholarly. Actually, it really is. It's amazing how profound such a simple book can be. This is actually the book that we give at our baby dedications to all the families. And we have one coming up Mother's Day weekend. So if you have a newborn or a little one and you want to get them dedicated, we'd love to talk with you about that. You can register online. If May doesn't work for you, there's another one in September. Our children's ministry has Bibles for every age group. If you need a Bible for your kid, you can actually look at them. They're on display out in the lobby. But we'd love for you to just go downstairs and talk with someone from children's ministry. We'd love to give them a Bible just the same way we'd love to give you a Bible. So take a look at that. But we're gonna read just the end of the story as it's contained or portrayed in the Jesus Storybook Bible, because I think it gives an amazing summary to everything we just talked about. So we're going to read this together, and then I'm going to close in prayer. And they sat on the mountaintop, watching the embers of the fire die in the cool night air, the stars above them sparkling in the velvet sky. God helped Abraham and Isaac understand something. God wanted his people to live, not die. God wanted to rescue his people, not punish them, but they must trust him. One day someone will be born into your family, God promised them, and he will bring happiness to the whole world. God was getting ready to give the world a wonderful present. It would be God's way to tell his people, I love you. Many years later, another son would climb another hill, carrying wood on his back. Like Isaac, he would trust his father and do what his father asked. He wouldn't struggle or run away. Who was he? God's son, his only son, the son he loved, the Lamb of God. Let's pray together. Father, you are a God who makes a way when there is no way. And if we walk in faith and follow you, we will see that over and over again, you will bring the dead things in our life back to life again. And most importantly, you bring us back to life again. When we were far away from you, when we were your enemies because of our sin, when we were separated from you with no hope of coming back, you made a way by sacrificing your son, your only son whom you love, to be the Lamb of God who would take away our sins and make a way back to you. I just pray, Father, that each of us, as we walk that road to redemption, whether we're considering getting on the road or we've just found what it means or have been walking it for a long time, that we would never lose the awe of what you have done in this picture that you've painted and the road that you have paved on the way to Easter. We thank you for Jesus, to whom all this road points and to every who this road leads to. We praise you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.